It is good to be with y'all today. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, thank you for being good to us, for loving us. Thank you for giving us these moments that we can come together and sing to you. That you can remind us that we are family, that we're family that's even bigger than our immediate family. We are family that is eternal. Because of Jesus, we can call each other brothers and sisters and give us hope. We see glimmers of that hope when we're together. We thank you. Now, God, I pray as we open your word that you would make your word living and active and powerful. You would help me to explain well, that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I've been thinking a lot lately, as I'm guessing maybe you have, and just how we react to bad things, when bad things happen around us, how we react. And one of the biggest reactions that I've, and maybe this is me projecting myself, so if this is just me, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but one of the biggest ways that I think that we react to bad things, when bad things happen and or we see bad things around us that might or might not happen to us, we ask ourselves, how much is this going to affect my life? Like, I don't want it to affect, if I can deal with anything as long as my life doesn't change. If I don't have to make any life changes, just think about it. What's the number one question that we ask when we're in the hospital? Maybe not number one, but a big question we ask. The one I ask all, when can I go home? How long do I have to be here? How long is this going to interrupt normal for me? When we see things that could happen to us, or when something does happen, what's the thing you ask the person? But you're going to be okay, right? Things are going to be fine. Your life is going to go on like normal. That's what we want. That's how we react. Unfortunately, problems, we're living in this, problems, things that could happen to us, things that happen around us, they affect us. Our life changes. Things are different because of stuff that happens around us. For example, the little joke that I made at the beginning last week about how my oversized ears now, you know, have a useful purpose, mask and whatnot. 2 months ago, that would have been just like, what are you talking about? Makes no sense. And last week, you were able to laugh at my oversized ears, and it made sense. You knew, yeah, you put some mask on. Wow, I wish I had big ears like Hita. Things that happen around us change our lives. You break a bone, and all of a sudden, you can't do the stuff that you want it to do for a while, and then doctor says 2 months, and it's your life changes. If you go out and you try to start your car, and it doesn't turn over, and that you can't go somewhere. Bad things that happen to us change our lives. They mess with our lives. So how should we react to bad circumstances that inevitably could or do turn out changing the way we live, taking things away from us? How should we react when bad things happen or could happen? There's a passage. Look at Luke chapter 13. There's a place in the Bible where Jesus shows us how we should react. He tells us how when we see things on the horizon that are coming towards us that could happen to us, he shows us how we should react to them. And it's a really, really good passage, and I think very applicable. Look at Luke chapter 13, verse 1. There were some present at that very time, who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So this story starts in a really dark place, right? And it ends in a pretty severe place as well. But it starts dark because they come to Jesus and they tell him about something bad that had happened. And we don't know, based on the story, we don't have enough information. It doesn't tell us if this is the first time Jesus heard about it. If he was like, oh, Pilate did that? They were offering sacrifices and he came in and killed them while they were offering sacrifices? How horrible. What a horrible image. That's just like, what a horrible thing. Or maybe this was common knowledge and everybody knew about it and they were coming to Jesus, you know, and hey, you remember that thing that happened? Did you hear about that thing? And yes, I heard. Either way, it doesn't matter. They were coming to Jesus with something bad that it was happening, that it happened around them. And then Jesus comes in and he answers back to them. He sees their reaction to it, and then he tells them what their reaction should be. But then he adds in another story that was obviously common knowledge, that a tower fell on 18 people and killed them. He adds in another story, and in doing so, he emphasizes that his teaching here isn't just how you should react, how they should have reacted to those people that were killed by Pilate when they were offering sacrifices. This is a universal way to react to tragedy, to bad things that happen, that we see happen around us. He includes another tragedy in it. And in their reaction, I think we can see a lot of our normal reaction when bad things happen. We see the way we react to things. Because these circumstances obviously aren't going to happen to us. You know, towers falling on people, when does that happen? Other things happen, other bad, and then when we see how they reacted, we see how we react as well. First thing, they came to Jesus, who was teaching about a relationship with God and turning to God and knowing God, and they come to him with, you know, to talk about bad things, earthly things that had happened, people, horrible things, but earthly things, and we do the same thing. We focus on the earthly destruction and loss. We look at what happens around us and if I get sick and if I'm in the hospital and if this happens and if I lose my job and if this happens with my house or with my car, we focus on, when bad things are coming towards us, we focus on the bad thing. We focus on the earthly destruction and loss, not as much on our relationship with God. We don't immediately jump to our relationship with God when bad earthly life stuff is happening around us, just like they didn't. They weren't thinking relationship with God. They were thinking this bad thing that happened to these people. We worry about our lives. We should look to God, but sometimes we do, but a lot of times it's just, you know, help me with this bad thing that's happening. Please make my car start this morning. Hey, that's not, you know, really seeking God. It's help me with something, turning to God. We focus on the tragedy, on the problem. A lot of times, and I think we can see this around us and maybe even in us, we end up, by focusing on the bad thing that's happening in the world, we make it huge. We make it bigger in our hearts and in our minds by focusing on it and thinking about it. And that's the only thing that's around us, and it's the only thing on the news. And we make it into something even bigger than God not is, but is for us. We make it bigger than anything else in our lives. Have you felt that as we've gone through these times? Have you felt with all the news about the pandemic and all the thing, and it's real and it's horrible, and have you seen it just get bigger and bigger like a balloon in your mind and in your heart, and that's all you focus on, and that becomes even sometimes bigger than God in your world? Another thing we see woven into the way they reacted, because we know this because the way Jesus reacted to them, they don't say this, but Jesus reacts to this. So that tells us this is the attitude that they had. It's easy for us to feel kind of superior to other people when bad things happen to them. When we see bad things happen to other people, bad things are happening around and this person and that person, this happened to them. It's almost, we never say it out loud, but maybe they kind of deserve it. Maybe they didn't take care of themselves. So it's not that I'm better than them, but at least it didn't happen to me. That's woven into Jesus's reaction to them. That's the thing that Jesus responds to in them. That's what the attitude that they had is, they were worse than we were because look at what happened to them. Have you felt that at all in these times? Have you been walking outside with or without a mask, with or without distance, and you've seen other people doing something different and you felt a little superior to them, almost as if something happens to them, well, they're going to kind of deserve it, or maybe they didn't take care of themselves before and now more susceptible. That's just kind of the way it is. What a horrible thing to feel, but you can feel it, can't you? And that's what they felt. Jesus responds to that in them. Another thing that we see woven into how they, into what they were talking about, and we see this also in how Jesus responds to them, is fear. Because Jesus talks to them about deservedness, and he also talks to them about fear. And so that means they were coming with fear in their response to these circumstances. They were coming to Jesus with, this happened to them. And underneath that, it's the same thing that's underneath everything that the same thing that is underneath the way you and I feel when we see bad things happen to other people. This person got sick. This person had an accident. This thing happened to them. What if that happens to me? What if that were to happen to me? That's underneath everything. I'm so glad it hasn't happened yet, but what if it did? What if what happened to them were to happen to me? We fear for ourselves. We see bad things happen to other people, and we realize that could be, it becomes real. It's like, oh, that could happen to me as well. Hope it doesn't. I'll be careful. But what if it does? We feel a relief that it hasn't happened, but have you felt that also going through these times? This fear that you see the news and then it's, well, what if that happened to me? What if that became me? What if I got sick? What if I died? And Jesus turns to them and he takes their reaction. And instead of responding and going along with the way they were reacting, feeling superior and feeling fearful for themselves, he turns it on them. And then he shows them a much better way to react, a gospel-centered way to react to bad circumstances in our lives. And this is where we can learn from what Jesus says for ourselves, for the way we react. He tells them you shouldn't react that way. He confronts the way they were reacting. Look at, you shouldn't feel superior to other people. Go back to the verse. Go back to the verse, look what he says. He immediately says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered this way? No. Or do you think in verse 4, do you think that they were worse offenders than any of the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, he says, no one can feel superior. When bad things happen to somebody else and not to you, you can't feel superior. It doesn't mean that you're a better person. There's no superiority in this. We are all equally rebels before a sovereign God. We can't feel superior when things happen to other people and not to us. And also, and then this is where Jesus lands, you shouldn't fear. You shouldn't fear that thing. You shouldn't fear that catastrophe. You shouldn't fear that thing that could happen. Why? Not because it's not a real thing, not because it couldn't end your life, not because it is actually a tragedy or a catastrophe or a horrible circumstance, but you shouldn't fear it. Why? Again, go back to what Jesus said. You shouldn't fear it because there is a bigger danger. There's something bigger, no matter what the disaster or catastrophe is. And honestly, is there anything in our world that is as bad as offering sacrifices to God and then the government coming in and slaying you in that moment? That's kind of as bad as it gets, right? So no matter how bad the thing is that could happen to us, Jesus in this is teaching us, you shouldn't fear that thing because there's something much bigger, worse, something so much worse than that that could happen to you. Think the worst thing that could happen to you in this time, and right now for us, it's you could get coronavirus, and that would be horrible. Even that, something much worse. Instead of earthly death, worse than death is eternal death. Worse than losing something in this life is being separated from God for all of eternity, an eternal torment. That's what Jesus is talking about. No matter how bad the thing that could happen to you in this life is, or the bad thing that happened to those other people is, there's something so much worse waiting for us just over the horizon. It's being in front of the judgment seat of God, and it's having to give account for ourselves and coming up way, way short because we've rebelled against him our whole lives. That's worse. So here's a big idea from this text for us. We're all in danger. It doesn't matter if you didn't make Pilate mad and you're offering sacrifices and I'm okay. It doesn't matter if you wear a mask or not. It doesn't matter. It does matter, but if it doesn't matter, we're all in danger of something so much bigger. We are all in danger because we've all rebelled against God, and we all deserve his wrath, and we all will receive his wrath. Unless, look at what Jesus says. Look at verse 5, and he repeated this in verse 3. So just read verse 5. It's the same. No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you turn from your rebellion, you turn to God, unless you seek God, unless you draw near to God, that's what Jesus is calling us to do. You'll likewise perish. He doesn't mean in the same way you'll perish, like the tower will fall on you, perish. He means you will perish. They perish, you'll perish. And your perishing will be a much worse perishing than even that happened to them. It will be an eternal perishing. That is a strong wake up call. That's a strong warning from Jesus. It's Jesus coming to us and saying, in the middle of bad things happening to you and around you, don't fear the bad thing. Don't feel superior when the bad thing happens to someone else and not to you. Don't live in panic of that bad thing. It's not that you shouldn't be fearful. You should be. You should be really, really fearful of this other thing that is so much worse, standing before God and going to hell for all of eternity. That's what you should be worried about and scared about. And in the middle of this warning, this very stern, severe warning, he peels back this view of the grace of God. In the middle of that, in the middle of God's judgment and wrath, he peels back, he shows us God's love and his grace and his patience and his kindness towards us, that he lets us repent and turn to him. Look at verse 6, just keep reading. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now, I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, so the vine dresser, taking care of the vineyard, is answering now the owner and says, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it, put manure on it. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. And if not, you can cut it down. Weird story, right? Where it just got out of place, dropped in the middle of that. Not really. Jesus is telling us God has patience with us. Bad things happen around us, and there's this horrible thing waiting for us at the end, and we go on just blissfully ignorant of that, like that tree that was it a vine or a tree? I read and I didn't, and I was it a tree? Yeah, a fig tree, okay. I don't want you to be thinking the rest of the time, it's not that, it's not. God has patience with us, like the fig tree, blissfully ignorant. I'm about to be cut down. I'm about to die forever. Didn't know it, didn't care about it, could have cared less. Like us, we go through our lives blissfully ignorant. We deserve eternal death, and God has patience with us, and he gives us time. Now, this time, he gives us time. He gives us our lives. The whole time we're living, he gives us time. He gives us that time. It's an opportunity to turn to him. It's an opportunity to do what Jesus said at the beginning of this. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then he turns into this story and shows, God gives us time to repent. It's not like when would I have done that? I'm on my deathbed, and now in the time past, and when could I have repented? God gives us our whole lives to turn to him, to escape the judgment and the condemnation. And then again, it's a beautiful source, a view of God's mercy and his patience. But then it also ends with the same warning, doesn't it? Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. How does the story end? But if it doesn't give fruit, if this tree doesn't give fruit after I've been patient with it and given it time to do what it's supposed to do, cut it down. It's over. We have to turn to God. In his grace, he reminds us of what's coming. See, that's the thing. Even as we look at bad things that happen around us, for them it was Pilate coming in and killing the Galileans, and for the tower falling, and for us, we look around the world and we see death, and I saw an image last night of, it was just horrible, mass graves in Brazil, just a drone flying over the jungle and just rectangular holes just dug one after another in the ground. Just a horrible thing. You look at things like that and you say, wow, that's horrible. I'm sure glad that's not me right now. I get to work from home and it's all happy. But that's horrible. I fear that. God gives us these things. He gives us catastrophes and disasters and tragedies. He lets us see these things as a warning and as a metaphor. It's a warning and as a metaphor and warning that this is coming for us as well. Not this thing, not this sickness, but that we will be before a God who is sovereign and who made us, against whom we rebelled. And if we do not turn to him in this life, we will perish for all of eternity. See, the problems that we see in this life and death that strikes people and the things that we look at and say, that's bad. I hope that never happens to me. That is supposed to be a big metaphor that drops down in front of us. And God says, look at that. Now, compared to what's waiting for you, that's so less worse, so much worse what is waiting at the end of this life. That's a metaphor for the eternal tragedy. And so in the middle of crisis, in the middle of tragedy, we should seek God. And many times we do, right? Many times we turn to God. But like I said at the beginning, it's because we want him to save us from the thing that's happening. No, we should seek God when bad things happen. We should see the bad thing that happens. That should remind us of what's waiting for us at the end of this life. And we should turn to God. We should turn to God. We should seek God for God's sake. We should seek God because we want God, not because we want something from him. We should seek God to get him, to know him, to be close to him, so that we can live our lives giving him glory in a correct relationship of father and child with our creator. When this whole thing started, I don't know, it was like the first week or second, I don't know, when it was time just kind of melds together. It was towards the very beginning. My wife and I started praying that. We started praying that. We started praying that for ourselves and for our children and especially for those, you know, it's for everyone, but we were praying it for those of our community, the people that are part of our church family and the people who are around who aren't Christians yet. And we started praying this, that this would be the thing that would make us turn to God, that would make us turn and seek God in a way that we've never sought him before, that we would seek him for himself, that we would seek him to get him, that this would make us and our people turn to God, and that we would be able to truly turn to God, not just on Sundays, not just be Sunday Christians, but that God would use this to draw our hearts to him and make us be totally devoted to him, that he would bring deep repentance on us. And isn't that the application from this? Isn't that what Jesus would have us do based on what we just read? Shouldn't we let the bad things that happen around us remind us of the worst thing, the so much worse thing that's coming, and then make us turn to God? So here's a question for you today, something to think about as we start thinking about responding to God. We've read his word, we'll respond to him. What would it mean for you today to repent? Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. We can't assume that Jesus was just talking about flagrant sinners. His whole crowd wasn't just the tax collectors and prostitutes. There were Pharisees in his crowd. There were religious people. There were people in various degrees of their walk with God. So no matter where you're at, don't put this in a category of, I repented. There was that time. Remember a long time ago, I repented and I was baptized. But today, what would it look like for you to repent? What would it look like for you to turn more to God? Maybe if I say it that way, it's easier for us and some of us who have been Christians for a while to apply this to ourselves. What would it look like for me to turn more to God? What would it look like? Maybe for you, that's not you. It's not, you haven't been a Christian for a long time. In fact, you're not. Turning to God for you, repenting is first time turning to God from your rebellion, coming to him and saying, I don't want to perish. So I'm coming to you and I repent and I'm going to be baptized. I give myself to you. I choose you as my Savior and my Lord. When you come to that point and you want to give yourself to him, I don't want to perish. I want to repent. I'm going to turn to you. Tell someone here, you can repent. You can be baptized. You can turn to God. And if you're a Christian, maybe repenting for you in this moment is this. Maybe it's repenting of the sin of ignoring God. Without Sundays, there's not a lot of God in my life. So I have Sundays and that's kind of it. Maybe it's repenting of letting God be over here and you just living your life and you don't read your Bible every day and sing and pray and spend time, not to check something off a thing, but because you have a relationship, a deep relationship with God. Maybe that's what repenting looks like for you. So I want to turn more to God, spend time with him every single day. Maybe for you, repenting is you say, I've made this whole pandemic that we're in bigger. I made it so big in my mind and my heart that it's taken God out of his place. I need to put him back on his place. I need to spend time with him. I need to listen to what he says. And I need to take care of myself because of this, but I need him to be bigger than that in my heart. Maybe for you, repenting is, there's a persistent sin. There's a thing that you always think or feel or do, and it's maybe kind of been unchecked in this time because you've been more by yourself and you've just been kind of you or you and your family, and that thing in your heart and your life has taken root again and it's kind of sprung up and you're doing a good job of hiding it and acting like it's not part of you again, but it is. Maybe for you, repenting and turning to God is saying, I'm going to stop doing that. No matter who sees me, no matter who I have to be with, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be more like Jesus. What does it look like for you to repent and turn to God? Does it look like all I do is focus on my own life? I need to focus on the kingdom. I need to guide other people, even in social distancing times. I need to disciple other people. I need to lead other people closer to Jesus. What does it look like for you to turn more to God, to turn to God? Because that's what Jesus says we should do. Now, we're going to respond to God. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together. We're going to pray together. As we do, I want you to think about something. Well, where do you think the grace comes from? Where the owner of the vineyard says to the wine dresser, cut the tree down. And the vine dresser says, hang on just a second. Could we give it time? Would we give it time to do the right thing, to repent and turn to you? Where do you think that grace comes from? It comes from the vine dresser. It comes from our Savior. It comes from the one who does everything in his power to make us turn to God, even letting bad circumstances come into our lives so that we wake up and say, that's a metaphor for something much worse. That's the grace that we see on the cross. That's what we see and we get because of Jesus's death, because his body was broken. In the same way, you're going to take the little cracker and it will break between your teeth. Jesus's bones were broken. Because of that, I can draw near to God. We can repent. And we're going to take the juice, and as we drink it, it's to remind us of Jesus's blood that was shed. And to remind us that because of that, God has patience with the rebels, and he invites us to come to him, and we can turn to him and repent and draw near again because of what Jesus did on the cross. Why don't we pray? And then we'll take the bread together, and then Jim will pray for the vine. God, we come to you and we thank you. You are good and kind and loving. And you even put tragedy and catastrophe around us in an attempt to wake us up to what eternity holds for us when we don't turn to you, when we don't know you and love you, when we aren't your children. God, we want to hold on to you. When we see bad things happen, we want you to use that in our hearts to make us reach out for you and hold on to you like we've never held on to you before, not because we want you to save us from the bad thing in this life, but because we love you. We want to be with you forever. You're our Father and you're good. We see that no more clearly, God, than we do on the cross. So now as we remember Jesus, remember his body that was broken for us, pray, God, that you would draw us to you, that you would help each one of us to repent, and that we would live more like Jesus as we remember him. In his name we pray. Amen.